that your name is above every other name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you alone are worthy, Lord. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing in our hearts right now, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the open heaven that is above us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is here to minister this morning, Lord. We thank you for the incredible worship, Lord, which we trust was like sweet fragrance to you, Lord. Lord, you're amazing, and you amaze us every single day. We look at ourselves and we look at our lives and we're not worthy, Lord. But it's through the gracious blood of Christ that we can come back to the heart of the Father. And this morning, Lord, open your heart to us. Open our hearts towards you. May your will be done in this place this morning. In Jesus' name. It's really good to be back. Those of you who haven't seen me for a couple of weeks, I guess we're still pastoring this church. It's just been a couple of Sundays that have been unusual. Two Sundays ago was the incredible Awaken Conference, Ladies Conference. And my wife was preaching in Somerset West, so I went to support her on that side. And I must say, I could very easily give up my job. She preached such a powerful message in Somerset West, I was actually blown away. She hasn't preached for 8 months since the birth of Alexi. And wow, it was powerful. So powerful that she will be preaching next weekend. I really believe that the Lord has laid something on her heart for our congregation. So you can have the pleasure of listening to her next Sunday. Last Sunday, I was at one of my best friend's weddings. A Jewish guy that I grew up with. His name is Kevin, an amazing guy. And I went to his wedding out in Madikwe. But I'm going to share a little bit more about that later in my message. But it's really good to be back. I believe that the Lord has something special for you this morning. And while I just have a look quickly. You know, the weather's looking fine. So that bring and bri, please do come, 5 o'clock. The church will be providing plates and knives and forks and salads and breads and all sorts of things like that. You just need to bring your drinks and your meat. But if it does rain, don't come because nobody's going to be here. Okay, so it's weather dependent. It's weather dependent. I always get a little bit nervous when I haven't been in the pulpit for a while. It's why? Because it's kind of like, I guess it's like riding a bike. You need to get back into the saddle, and then it comes very easy again. So let me just launch straight into it. In fact, I'll pray for myself. Thank you, Father, for the words that come out of my mouth, Lord. May they please you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that everybody's hearts are open this morning. Everybody's hearts are open. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will bring conviction where it is required. You'll bring healing where it's required. You'll bring correction where it is required. You're amazing, Lord. And I stand here representing you. I thank you, Lord, that we can pray the mind of Christ over everybody. For we know, Lord, that some of us came in with a lot of things and confusion in our minds and baggage in our hearts. So we just want to lay all of that before your mighty throne of grace this morning and declare, have your way with us. I pray for a shift in the spirit this morning. The people are not here for head knowledge, Lord, but something incredible happens in the spirit. Change hearts, change perspectives, change lives, like only the King of Kings can. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so it's my final week in the series that I started several weeks ago. The series name is James Says. And we're walking through some of the critical passages in the book of James. I say some, not all. I encourage you to go and read it yourself. But this morning, we're going to talk about the tongue. We're going to talk about the tongue because we all use our mouths to communicate. We all speak words. And we're told by the people who count these things that in a lifetime, no, sorry, in one year, we speak enough words to fill 66 books, 800 pages long. Now, the average man speaks 20,000 words a day, and the average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. No surprise. So in those 66 books that we speak each year, there are good words and there are bad words. Words that heal and words that hurt. Which brings me to the title of my message this morning, which is James Says, Tame Your Tongue. Tame Your Tongue. Unlike Paul's letters, which are very theological, I've mentioned before in this series that James is a very practical book, and it focuses on practical Christian living. Now, if you consider that James only wrote 5 chapters in the Bible, it's only 5 chapters in his letter, and half of those chapters, half of the third chapter, is dedicated completely to the tongue. So he must have considered words and the tongue very important. But James was not the only one that knew that the power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Now that's scripture. I got it up there. Don't think I do. That is from Solomon's book of wisdom. Solomon's book of wisdom is called Proverbs. And he has a lot to say about the tongue. And I'm just going to pull 5 scriptures from what Solomon has to say. There's many, 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 many more in the book of Proverbs and across scripture about the tongue. So let's go. 5 of them. Proverbs 12:18. Okay, you've got them up there. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Proverbs last one, 25:11. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Words. You know what's incredible? As amazing as God is working in Prochorus, there are people in our community speaking against us. Can you believe that? Because I struggle to believe that. I mean, I know that the enemy is doing everything in his power to come against us because we are pushing the kingdom of darkness back with the light of Christ. But you would think, Prochorus, helping little children get off the street, educating, feeding. You would think that this would attract praise. But it doesn't. Not always. There's people out there. But I just want to say today, we are not in the business of going to put out every fire of gossip across this town. The Lord is our vindicator. We pray. He does the vindication. So turn to me to James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And for those of you who don't have your Bibles here, bring your Bibles to church. And we'll have it up on the screen. And we're going to go through this verse by verse. Okay, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. For me personally, I don't think there is a more sobering verse in the entire Bible. James seems to suggest that those people that stand and teach on the behalf of God are going to be sifted twice when they stand before God. That's a sobering thought. Those who teach will be judged more harshly. You probably won't find it hard to find preachers who are funnier than me, more eloquent than me, who are better versed in the scriptures than me, who are smarter than me, and preach more deeply than me. But I can tell you, you'll be hard-pressed to find a preacher who takes what they do more seriously. I take it very seriously. When I stand up here to speak to you, I stand with an awareness that every single word that comes out of my mouth, I will be judged upon when I stand before the Lord one day. Judged by the Lord. So sermon preparation for me, and specifically the 4 hours before I stand here on a Sunday morning, is very intense for me. It's holy time. Very, very intense. And you know, people often ask me, they say, Yanni, how do you prepare for a message? Believe me, you don't want to know. I know you think you want to know, but you don't want to know because it's messy. It's messy. There's sometimes blood if I fall over while I'm in the mountains screaming out to God. There's definitely tears. There's sweat. It's not a pretty sight at all. It's intense. It's intense. And sometimes it involves a semi-nervous breakdown on a Saturday night because I know that I'm about to come up here on Sunday and stand before all of you. And that is terrifying enough. It's not my natural place up here. I know it may seem it, but God has anointed me to stand up here. So I have to come in here every Sunday and come up with something fresh and exciting week after week. I'm expected to say something new and insightful. And I'm meant to be funny, but not too funny. I must be serious, but not too serious. I must be profound, but not too profound. I must be simple, but not too simple. I must encourage you, but I must challenge you. And by the way, I'm doing all of this on the behalf of God. It's intense. It's very, very intense. And it should be, because as James says, I'm going to stand in front of God and be accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth. Everything I teach you and everything I fail to teach you. Because my mandate is to teach you the whole Bible. Not just the bits you want to hear. And let me tell you, and I've said this before, there's some things I'd prefer not to preach about. You know, there's some things that I don't jump out of bed on a Sunday and say, hey, I want to preach on lukewarm Christians. You know, come here and try telling people that they're blinded by their own comfort. They're living selfish lives centered around their own will, their own dreams, their own desires, their own ambitions, led by the flesh as opposed to the will of God. That's not a great Sunday message. How about the topic of money? I have to come and say to some of you, you need to get off your wallets. You need to give to God. It's not fun coming here to a bunch of Franschhoek folk and saying you need to put God first in your finances. That's not a great Sunday message. Preaching the Word of God is hard work. It really is hard work. And I'm concerned for many of us in my generation who are afraid of hard work, afraid of putting in the hours, because it's hard work to divine the Word of God. We are at risk, and I'm speaking for myself as well. We are at risk in my generation of falling for what one preacher called the guitar hero mentality of ministry. I'm going to repeat that. The guitar hero mentality of ministry. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? One person shaking their head. No, does anybody know what that is? It's where everybody wants to be a rock star, but nobody wants to learn the chords. Everybody wants to stand up here, but nobody wants to get deep into the heart of God. So I will be judged more strictly than most of you. So pray for me on Saturday night when you're eating your pizza and lying on your couch watching TV. Pray for me, because the chances are that I'm going through something very intense. serious business. But I hope you don't think that I'm the only one that is going to be accountable for what I speak. It's not just about preachers that stand behind a pulpit with a microphone in their hands. You are accountable too for the words that you use to influence other people's lives. That is what James says. He says, we who teach. If you are a small group facilitator, you are a teacher. If you teach in a school, and we've got many teachers in our congregation, you are a teacher. If you teach at Bible school, you're a teacher. If you disciple anybody, you are a teacher. If you are a parent, you are a teacher. Yes, parents, you are teachers. You are going to get judged more strictly, when you stand before God one day for everything that you teach your kids and everything you fail to teach your kids. Sobering, huh? Yeah, when the shoe's on the other foot. Sobering, huh? So what are you saying to your kids? What are you building into them? Because God will judge you one day as you stand before Him for how you influenced them or how you did not influence them. Moms and dads, I cannot say this with more emphasis. Your words weigh 1,000 tons in the lives of your children. But all of us are going to be held accountable for every time we influence people who are looking for influence. Young people, when you tell your friends to go to that party where you know that all hell is going to break loose at that party, you will be held accountable for influencing your friends. My brothers and sisters, we will all be held accountable for what we say and what we don't say. What we say in anger and what we say in jest. What we say in sarcasm and what we fail to say in apathy. Our words weigh 1,000 tons. How many of you are convicted right now? How many of you are convicted for the things that you are saying or not saying? I know I'm convicted. I'm very convicted. I actually feel like a bit of a hypocrite bringing this message. James says in verses 2 to 6, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example, James says. Although they are so large and are driven by strong wind, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Whew. Three powerful metaphors James uses to emphasize the power of the little tongue. A guy by the name of Ray Pritchard put together a list of 10 signs of an untamed tongue, and I'm going to read them out to you. And I want to see if any of these apply to you. So, signs of an untamed tongue. You take cheap shots at people. You gossip. Even as Christians, when we're masking the gossip as prayer requests. Hey, my brother, let's pray for John. You know how he's struggling with lust and pornography, and you know he's in a second marriage. Let's pray for him. Yes, my sister, let's pray for Jane. Have you seen the short skirts that she wears? Gossip. That's gossip. As I said, I feel very hypocritical sharing this message. But number 3, signs of an untamed tongue. Repeating of rumors. I've seen lives destroyed by people repeating rumors, mostly which are not true. Number 4, sharing of details that should remain private. If someone is talking to you about other people, I can guarantee you when they're with those other people, they are talking about you. Signs of an untamed tongue, number 5, swearing. 6, lying. Even those little white ones. You know those little white ones so you don't have to offend anybody or like a little bit of manipulation is required? Signs of an untamed tongue. Number 7, making yourselves look better than others. Number 8, adding aggravating details to make the absent look worse. How about this one? Number 9, dismissing an unkind remark by saying, I was only joking. Just kidding. I didn't really mean it. Number 10, last one, signs of an untamed tongue. Super sarcasm. It's kind of like toothpaste. Once you squeeze it out, you can't push it back in. Sarcasm. James says in verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Think about it. It takes so little effort to sin or disobey God with your mouth. You don't even have to crack a sweat. You don't even have to plan it in advance. You can just open up your mouth anywhere, anytime, and use the Lord's name in vain. Disobey your parents. Dishonor your parents. Curse someone out. Swear. Are there those of you who are probably sitting here and saying, I don't use any foul language or any kind of words like that? Who says it's about four-letter words? Many Christians think just because they do not say certain words that they are good with their mouths. Let me explain something to you. There's a difference between cursing and cussing. Now, this is not a message about saying, do not say cuss words. Because I've met some people who can curse you out or cuss you out in Christianese without saying one swear word. And that actually reminds me, Kat and I, about 10 years ago, we were traveling across the U.S. We drove in a car, and we went to the southern states like Alabama and Mississippi. And there's a saying that they say there, and it's, well, bless your little heart. And that actually means, you dumb idiot. That's what it means. It's not bless your little heart, it's bless your little heart. There's a lot of sarcasm in there, and it means you're an idiot. On the other hand, Kat and I did a wedding about 5 years ago. I was actually preaching at a funeral, and one of the ladies in the funeral was getting married. And she was an underwear model, and she was marrying this guy called, I won't mention names. You will never listen to this message, so I probably can. His name was Warren. Warren was a very heavy dude. He loved his muscle cars. All his friends were bikers. He drank too much. He smoked too much. He had too many tattoos. And we did the wedding, which was very colorful, out in Mikey's Fontaine. But the reason why we decided to do it was we decided that Kat and I, we treated it as a little mission trip that we could go and speak truth into the lives of people who don't regularly come to church or never come to church. So anyway, Warren has never heard me preach before. And after the message of marrying him, he turns over to me in his gruff voice. He's got a really gruff voice. I think it's from the 90 cigarettes he smokes a day. And he goes, hey man. Hey man, that was a bleep, bleep, bleeping good speech. So I'm like, thanks, Warren. What was he doing? He was blessing me while cussing me. So what I'm trying to say, it's not about a list of words that you can or you cannot say. It's the intention of your heart. It's the intention and the attitude of your heart when you speak. James says the tongue is like a fire set on fire by hell. Verse 8, I'm repeating, but no human being can tame the tongue. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So what is the solution to taming your tongue? There is no solution. There is no solution to taming the tongue. Like, taming an animal requires two specific things: patience and persistence. So it's going to be a lifelong battle to tame your tongue. Lifelong. It does get easier, but it's going to be a lifelong battle. It's going to take hard work to keep control of your tongue. You have to look for those occasions where the tongue is set on fire by hell and used as an instrument of hell. You know, when you are tempted to complain, you should say Psalm 31:4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see how it works? You start to praise God instead of complaining. We must understand that our words are either going to be a source of life or a source of death. We must remember that we must only speak what is helpful. You see, gossip is a fiery spark that spreads and will ruin the life of the hearer, the life of the subject of the gossip, and your own life. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So if you haven't got anything nice to say, shut your mouth. We need to start thinking through what God would want us to say and how He would want us to use our words, because words are so powerful. They are so powerful. James says it's like a rudder that turns a ship. You can all picture that tiny rudder in comparison to a massive ship. Or a small metal bit in the mouth of a beast like a horse. Turn it so easily. Your words can change the direction of your life and the lives of others. If you want to change the direction of your life, change the declaration of your mouth. If you want to change the trajectory of your life, change the words that come out of your mouth. Your world is framed. Your world is framed by what you say. God teaches us in Genesis that He spoke the world into being. God said, "Light be," and light was. He spoke the entire creation into being, into existence. What have you been speaking into existence by the power of your words? What have you been speaking into existence into the heart of a child by the power of your words? What have you been speaking into existence in your own marriage by the power of your words? Your world is framed by your words. So if you want to send your life into a different direction, send your words into a different direction. Instead of talking about how bad it is, start talking about how big your God is. Instead of talking about how bad the state of the economy is, start speaking scripture over it and say, "The Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, is my provider. He will provide all my needs." Instead of talking about your teenage children that are falling apart at the seams, start speaking about the potential that you know they have in their hearts. Instead of criticizing your husband for that one thing he didn't do on his day off, start to praise him for those two things that he did do. If you change the declaration of your lips, I guarantee you, on the authority of God's words, that it will be like a small spark that lights a fire. Set a fire to your marriage. Set a fire to your parenting, to your finances. Speak life, abundant life. Some of the biggest decisions in life are dictated by very few words. Think of the word guilty. If you proclaim guilty, you could be incarcerated, or there's some kind of punishment waiting for you. I was at Kevin and Becky's wedding last weekend, as I shared with you. Two powerful words that they said to each other: "I do." those two words have changed Becky and Kevin's future for the rest of their lives. It will determine what their children look like. It will determine what their grandchildren will look like. I do. Say those words and your life will never be the same. How about that no you never said? That first smoke? That first drink? That back seat of the car? How about the no that you're failing to say in your life right now? Your words frame your life. You need to tame your tongue. We are a product of what we say. And every area of your life is affected by this. Actually, neurologists tell us that the speech center rules every other nerve. Say things like, I'm feeling sick. I'm getting old. I give up. Your body will follow. Your body will follow what the tongue says. Words are powerful. In fact, they're so powerful. A Japanese scientist, Dr. Emoto, decided to do a test. He took 2 cups of cooked rice and put them in airtight containers. One on it said, I love you, and the other one said, I hate you. And he put them on 2 sides of a laboratory. And every time he went past or anyone went past, for 30 days, they would speak to the I love you jar, I love you, you're great, you're wonderful. On the other jar, it was I hate you, you're a fool, you're going to amount to nothing. After 30 days, there's a picture of it. The picture's not so good. But one still remains white. The I love you jar still remains white. The I hate you jar is black, turned rotten. How do we explain that? How do we explain that? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's how we explain it. He did a multiple of other experiments on freezing ice and speaking different words while the ice was freezing. And go and look it up. It's very interesting. But let's read the rest of the passage from James, verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes cursing and praise. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The problem is most of us speak from both sides of our mouths. James says, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. James's text is very straightforward, but it's profound in its implication. You know, when James says the tongue sets the body on fire, he's speaking on two levels. The first level is our physical individual body, where what we say, what we declare, the confessions that we make over ourselves change the trajectory of our life, the course of our life, and the decisions that you even make. But on the second level, James is referring to the body of Christ. You know, we have seen, all of us have seen in the news over many, many years, of churches torn apart, literally torn in half, by people who could not keep their mouth shut. If you don't have anything helpful to say about what's going on in Prochorus or in this church, just leave. I'm serious. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to run us down. You don't have to start little behind-the-scenes prayer meetings to try and change the direction of this church. Just leave. Just go. Because I don't want what God is doing in this place to be ruined by people who can't keep their mouths shut. When you spread division, gossip, rumors, you become the force of hell. You become the force of hell. So if you want to be a force of hell in this faith family, go. We're not interested. Just leave. Rather, let us be the body of Christ. Let us be a source of fresh water, not salt water. Let us be a source of blessing, not cursing. I'm going to share with you something really fascinating that I read a while back. I'm just going to read it. It's an article, it's a couple of lines long. Scientists now tell us that once a sound wave is set in motion, it never ends. It's not like a wave in the ocean. When it hits the shore, it stops. Once any sound is ever made, the wave created goes on a never-ending journey. If we ever come up with the technological instruments, every sound wave could be captured and reproduced at any given time. Scientists actually believe that if we develop this technology, that we could actually hear every word ever spoken. That is, every word spoken by any person, dead or alive, in any time in history on planet Earth. So let me ask you something. Would you change the way you speak, knowing that it could be recorded and played back to you at any time? Would you change the way you speak? The truth of the matter is your words are recorded. Every single word that has ever been spoken since the creation of time, every word that you are currently speaking, every word that you are still to speak until the world ends, has been recorded by the God who created the tongue. Because Jesus says this himself in Matthew 12, verses 36 to 37. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. This week, every time you open your mouth, you have an option to be a source of life or a source of death, a source of blessing or a source of cursing, fresh water or salt water. Now we know, we all live in an agricultural valley. The only kind of water that sustains life and grows the beautiful wine and crops around us is fresh water. Fresh water sustains life. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, does not sustain life. Nothing can grow in the Dead Sea because that's where it gets its name from, dead. And the reason is the high concentration of salt. Because salt water does not sustain life. So let me help you practically here. Very, very practically, very easy. Every time you open your mouth, and before you speak, I want you to ask yourself three things. First one, is it true? What I'm about to say, is it true? The second thing, before you speak it, will this bless God? Because you can say some true stuff, but it's not going to bless God. So is it true? Will it bless God? And number three, will I say it in front of the person that I'm talking about? Three simple, quick things to judge your speech. I want to challenge you this week. Every conversation you have, every encounter that God brings across, every opportunity to complain and every chance to gossip, speak life. Speak life. Speak abundant life. A couple of weeks ago, Kim, sitting halfway down the row there, sent me a clip, which I'd actually like to play for everybody. So some of you might have already seen it, but if you have seen it, it's cool. You can see it again. It's very powerful. I think it's very powerful. About the power of words. So, just the picture quality is not that great, but the sound is perfect.
When you feel like you can't handle the task in hand, and you ask yourself, "Girl, who's your dad?" Because I remember when Jerry said, "When you feel like you can't handle the task in hand, and you ask yourself, girl, who's your daddy?" Because I remember when Jerry said that to me and I got a good look at him, I felt secure, I felt taken care of, not because of me, but because of who I belong to. And what if when you got a good look at your God, remembering who he is and that you belong to him? Listen, I think until the Lord stops me from taking platforms and ministering to women, I will say this until the day that I die, reminding myself as I do when I am quietly alone and I look myself in the mirror and say, girl, who's your daddy? You know what I tell myself? I tell myself, he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all time. He always was, always is, always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised but brought healing. He was pierced but eased pain. He was persecuted but brought freedom. He was dead and brings life. He has risen to bring power, and he reigns to bring peace. The world can't understand him. Armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him. And leaders, they can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. Nero couldn't crush him. The New Age cannot replace him. And Oprah cannot explain him away. She can't. She can't do it. You remind yourself that he is light, he is love, he is longevity, and he is the Lord. He is goodness and kindness and faithfulness, and he is God. He is holy and righteous and powerful and pure. His ways are right, his word eternal, his will unchanging, and his mind is on us. He's our Savior, our guide, our peace, our joy, our comfort, our Lord, and he rules our lives. I serve him because his bond is love, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and his goal for us is abundant life. I follow him because he's the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the ancient of days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of all leaders. His goal is a relationship with me. He'll never leave you, never forsake you, never mislead you, never forget you, never overlook you, and never cancel your appointment in his appointment book. Never. When you fall, he'll lift you up. When you fail, he'll forgive you. When you're weak, he's strong. When you're lost, he's your way. When you're afraid, he's your courage. When you stumble, he will steady you. When you're hurt, he's going to heal you. When you're broken, he will mend you. When you're blind, he will lead you. When you're hungry, he will feed you. When you face trials, he's with you. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he will comfort me. When I face loss, he will provide for me. And when we face death, he will carry us all home to meet him. He is everything. For everybody, everywhere, every time, and in every way. He is your God, and that, sisters, is who you belong to.
Wow. I don't know about you, but that definitely uplifts me. Amazing. Speaking life. Speaking the word of God. Declaring scripture over yourself. Focusing on God and not on your circumstances. Now, you may not be as articulate as that preacher lady we just saw, but over the next 3 weeks, you have an opportunity to speak life in a more powerful way than you can possibly understand. I say the next 3 weeks because I'm going to put a challenge out there. This is part of the challenge, part of the message. The challenge part of the message is we've got Easter, call it Resurrection Sunday, happening in 3 weeks' time. It is the easiest Sunday in the whole of the year to invite someone to church. People who don't normally come to church will come to church on a Sunday. Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. So I want you to start opening up your eyes and see who God is bringing into your life so that you can speak life. You can speak Christ into their lives and invite them to this church for an encounter with Christ. I'm challenging you to speak life into maybe your wayward cousin, your uncle, your brother, your neighbor. Yeah, even that neighbor that you don't like, they need Christ. Maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your father. But you know who you can speak Christ to this week and in the coming weeks. We're actually going to help you a little bit. We're having cards printed. It just says, you're invited to church. It's like the size of a business card. They will be available next week. We don't want to give them to you this week because you're going to forget about it. So we're going to keep on reminding you over the next 3 weeks for you to speak life. Don't come to church alone on Easter this year. Don't come to church alone on Easter this year. Invite someone with you. Take them by the hand. Go and pick them up if you need to. Meet them at the front door. Do you know why I'm preaching here today? A guy called Anthony. I can't even remember his surname. Anthony invited me to church called a church called People's Church in the city of Fresno in the Central Valley of California. And you know what? Anthony wasn't even saved himself, but he invited me to church, and he had no understanding of the life invitation he had just given me. So I'm challenging you. There's somebody in your life the coming 3 weeks that you need to speak life into. Invite them to church. It may be the only opportunity that they get. So will you stand with me this morning? And I'd like just to practice a little bit, seeing as we are now in a nice, safe family environment. I'm going to ask you just to turn to the person next to you and speak life. Just start speaking life to them right now. You can tell them that, God, you are so good. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm glad that you saved me. I'm thankful to be in a church where I'm not persecuted for my faith. I'm thankful that God has been patient with me. I'm glad that God puts up with me. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm glad I'm married. I'm glad my wife hasn't left me. I'm thankful that I have food on the table. I'm glad God touched me when I woke up this morning. I'm glad that I've got clothes on my back. I'm glad that my mind is sound. I am thankful. God, I bless you. God, I honor you. I honor you, Lord. You are the great I am. Lord, may the fruit of our lips confess your name and bring glory to your kingdom. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this word that will not return void, Lord. Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's every single one of us in this room today needs to tame our tongue. It's a lifelong struggle, Lord. James tells us that it will never be perfected. But we declare today, Lord, that we do not want to be a force of hell. We want to speak life and abundant life, Lord. So I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that as we go out from this place, Lord, every time we want to speak, we will ask, is this the truth? Does this honor the Lord? Will I say this in front of the person that I'm speaking about? Lord, let not one drop of salt water come from our mouths. I pray for a conviction, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will actually stop the words in our throats. I pray that supernaturally this week, Lord, as people go out, they will catch themselves thinking about everything that they say, and everything that they say will be encouraging, will be life-giving, just like the fresh water that is meant to come from our mouths. You're amazing, Father, and you can do all things. So we are trusting for miracles to happen all across this room today, Lord, as the mighty conviction comes of the way we use our mouths. We declare, Lord, that we will change our mouths and change our lives and change this valley and change this town and change our neighbors and change every person by leading them to you, Lord. We take no glory for ourselves. You are the one that we honor. You are the one that we worship. Jesus, you're amazing. You are the giver of life. You are our healer. You restore us. You amaze us. I'm going to offer an opportunity for people to come forward this morning. We want to pray for the words that come out of your mouth, the words that have come out of your mouth. Maybe you need to come and just repent for what you've spoken over your children or over your marriage or over your finances. I'm going to invite you to come forward, and I'm going to ask the small group facilitators to come forward to help me, please. So if you know you need God's help, I encourage you to come forward today. In your own strength, it's not going to be possible. You know who you are. This message convicts me, I told you. And I've been holding it in my heart for 3 weeks. And for 3 weeks, I've been convicted about every word. And I failed. But it's not about me. So I invite you to come forward. We want to pray for you. Each one of you personally. Thank you, Father, for the ability to gather and have fellowship. We carry you in our hearts. We pray that you bless our coming week and continue to remind us of who we need to invite to church. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, your loving kindness that is better than none. In Jesus' name, amen.